on WCBC, leader in high school sports coverage since 1976. This is High School Game Day, recorded live every Thursday evening inside Bell and Opry on Green Street with WCBC morning sportscaster and sports team member Garrett Egan and coach Mike Allen. High School Game Day airs Fridays at 5 just before sports team game coverage. It's a look at last week's team performance, outstanding players, and what might be in the weekend ahead, plus interviews, information, and stats. High School Game Day, brought to you by Bell and Opry on Green Street, D&D Motors, Barton and Bel Air, Puffenberger Carpets, Green Spring, The Final Touch and Riverside Sports, 920 Kelly Road, Frankenberry Insurance on Volkey Road in LaVale, Queen City Motors, 99 Henderson Avenue in Cumberland, and Wetco Federal Credit Union. And now from WCBC Sports, High School Game Day.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to High School Game Day, the weekly high school football preview and review show where we talk about each week's games, review last week's action, and where the WCBC sports team actually gets a chance to pick the games. Alongside Mike Allen, as always, this is Garrett Egan. Thank you for joining us week one in the state of West Virginia in high school football. In the rear view and full front and center is week one in the state of Maryland this week in high school football. And as part of our first look back at last week, we take a look at the games, the game recaps here in this first segment. And as always, the host and home of High School Game Day, Bell and Opry Pizza Pasta Subs here on Green Street. We got a full reminder, everybody who listens to the show got a full reminder that we record the shows on Wednesday evenings here at Bell and Opry, and then they play back pregame before the pregame show on the AM and FM band on Friday night. So if we're talking in kind of a weird tense, depending on when the games are played, that is why we record the show on Wednesday. So let's take a look at the games from last week. Week one in the state of West Virginia, in our game of the week, the Frankfort Falcons playing host to the Moorfield Yellow Jackets. And for the Falcons, it was a winning effort, 28-7, seventh straight win for Coach Whiteman and the Falcons over Moorfield. Mike, Moorfield jumped out to an early lead, which Frankfort helped them with, but from that 7-0 start in favor of the Yellow Jackets, it was all Frankfort after that.
Yeah, Garrett, I had the spread at 22, so I think I was right on the button. I went over that spread, and I think you hit it right on that button. But Frankfort started a little wobbly, right? Had a couple turnovers early and then did what they do, and they just ran the football. Blake Jacobs, 5 for 63, 2 touchdowns. Patterson, 5 for 74, and a touchdown. Carter Shanholtz, 4 for 82, and a touchdown. So that's 3 backs. With 4 touchdowns between the 3 backs. So that's a good formula for Frankfort and Coach Whiteman moving forward.
It was. I mean, Patterson, Jacobs, Shanholtz, we talked about them kind of leading up to this season, especially Blake Jacobs, who last year was the quarterback for Frankfort. They moved him into the backfield, carrying the ball, not receiving the snap, as Uriah Cutter stepping in the quarterback position. But this was kind of a classic Frankfort week one game. Couple of hiccups early. Moorfield was aided by 2 early fumbles. First possession, Frankfort fumbles. Moorfield gets it. They score. Second Frankfort possession, they fumble the ball away again. So you had those early hiccups. But as we've seen, and this is kind of a microcosm of Frankfort in a lot of these years, and these seventh going for their seventh straight playoff appearance in West Virginia Class AA, even in games where they start out with hiccups, even in seasons where they start kind of slow, they find a way, and they did it in this game. And let's talk a little bit about their defense, Mike. I mean, the offense was there, but for the defense, 6 stops, not only at stuffing the football up front, because we know Moorfield is kind of a run-first team traditionally, but Moorfield also spread it out and threw the football, and right there was Jacob Nething and Keaton Nestor with an interception each, 6 straight stops for the Falcons at keeping Moorfield off the scoreboard and pitching a shutout after giving up that early touchdown.
Yeah, defense is always something that Coach Whiteman hangs his hat on. If you notice, Frankfort scores are always low, so to be in that category of having low-score football games, you have to do 2 things. You have to run the football to keep the other team off the field, and you have to play good defense. And Frankfort did both of those things against Moorfield. So I'm sure moving into week 2 and against Hampshire, Frankfort has a lot of good film to watch. they'll tighten up a few things and continue to do what they did against Moorefield, which is win.
And I think the takeaway from, just kind of expand on your takeaway there, I think for Frankfurt, what we have seen is the shuffling that they've done with the deck. We see this, I mean, in all high school football, where kids from last year who got a lot of playing time, maybe had some starting spots at certain positions, as a head coach, and especially at this level, you need to put your athletes in the best possible way to help your team. And I think for this season, for Frankfurt especially, getting Jacobs the football in the backfield, he finishes with 5 for 63 and 2 touchdowns. Julian Patterson, 74 and a touchdown. You see traditionally Frankfurt run the football first and do it well, and that starts with the offensive line. It starts with the scheme. But when you boil it all down, Mike, you have to get the ball in the hands of your best athletes. And Coach Whiteman has done that again this year, at least through one game, putting the right kids in the right position to be successful.
I agree. With a small team like Frankfurt, you know, you don't have 40, 50, 60 kids to choose from. So what you're going to do is, no matter where they played last year, they're going to have the opportunity to play in key positions this year if they're the best athletes. So you hit that nail directly on the head. So no matter who played where, let's say these kids played on the line or you know, played in different positions in the backfield, they're going to put their kids in the best positions to win football games. And in this case, Coach Whiteman has done it again with Shanholz, Patterson, Jacobs, that they just continue to do year in and year out is find ways to win football games. These kids made it happen against Moorefield. Let's see what happens the rest of the season.
Frankfurt at 1-0 after 1 week at the state of West Virginia. We go now to the other Mineral County school. Last week, Kaiser opening up the season, traveling to R.C. Byrd, a matchup that Kaiser has put on their schedule the last handful of seasons. Last year, Kaiser pitched a shutout in an early week one win. We talked about them in the preview of last week's broadcast, last week's show. And the big concern for Kaiser last year was injuries. Well, unfortunately, they have not been able to shake that injury bug as R.C. Byrd outlasts Kaiser, never really looked back, 48-7. This one was ugly early. I want to say in the first 4 minutes, Mike, we talked about how Kaiser was still looking for their identity in the backfield, especially at the quarterback position. Tristan Root, Grayson Lamka, both fighting and competing for the top quarterback spot, the starting quarterback spot. In the first 4 minutes of that game, they lose both Tristan Root and Grayson Lamka with injuries. So then, already you're trying to find your identity in the backfield. Then you go pretty much to your third string, maybe even fourth string option in the backfield, and Kaiser really was never able to recover. R.C. Byrd at home with the injuries still plaguing the Golden Tornado. They cruise 48-7.
Yeah, this is disappointing. You know, number one, it's disappointing that these guys got hurt. Number two, it's just the scoreboard itself being so lopsided. Mm-hmm. However, if you lose two key guys, you know, Root and Lamka are not only going to play offense, they're going to play defense as well. So you're losing two guys off the offense and the defense early in the football game to try to, you know, wrap your head around that as a coaching staff and as the other players that see your leaders go down. That's tough to overcome, and they weren't able to do that against RCB. However, you know, it's just, it's so disappointing to me that Kaiser can't figure it out more. Mm-hmm. going into the game to figure out, like, how can we make stops on defense, right? In the couple years that we've been doing this show, Kaiser has always handled RCB and done it defensively. They've held them to 21, 14 points and 7 points, and this year they just couldn't get that done.
Mike, you've coached at various levels, various sports, you know, Bishop Walsh basketball and football and basketball at several different levels, for, you know, Fort Hill, things like that. As a head coach in this sort of position, Derek Steven, he's a younger guy. He's been at Kaiser forever, played there multiple sports, takes over the reins for Coach Beiser a couple of years ago. As a young coach, or just as a coach in general, it's so hard to be that, I don't know how I'm trying to say this, to kind of be that leading light. In this sort of position, as a coach, how do you turn it around from week one to week two, knowing that you're banged up? Hopefully that a couple of these guys will be able to make it back, you know, this week or maybe next week. But as a head coach, how is he going to turn this around? If anything, just kind of motivating his guys to get back out there and find a way?
Well, it's just like any loss, Garrett. You have to forget it. You watch the film on it as a coach's staff. You show your team the film early in the week, and then you move on to Hampshire. I'm sorry, to move on to the next team, which is Hedgesville. So you can't really dwell on it as a coaching staff. However, you know, if you think about Allegheny last year when they lost, or 2 years ago when they lost Williams, right? They lost Williams. What did they do? They put Bratton as the quarterback, quote-unquote quarterback, in the shotgun, in the Wildcat, and just gave them the football. I think that's what Kaiser's going to have to do, right? Whoever their best running back may be, put him behind center, put him in a shotgun, put him in a pistol, and just let him dictate until he gets his quarterbacks healthy. Whether that's one or two, or you know, if they find another one that they can trust. But in high school, you don't have three deep at quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't really have two, right? You have your best athlete, one of your top dogs, one of your leaders at quarterback, and then you might have a backup waiting in the wings, and normally you don't have to use them because that guy you're using is such a fine-tuned athlete that they don't normally get hurt. In this case, Kaiser had the worst break of all by not having one go down but two. So that's what I would do. I'd find the athlete, put him in behind the center, either shotgun or under center, and just go with that guy.
Simplify with the best athletes. Hopefully Kaiser will be able to get back to as full strength as they can. Once again, losing two of their key guys early in that loss to R.C. Byrd. Now to the Hampshire Trojans' new head coach, rejuvenated numbers, 59 on the roster to start the season. They travel to Preston. Hampshire out to an early big lead, but Preston made it difficult, and they go to an overtime, make it two overtimes. We're sweating over this win. Hampshire does it for me and for several of us, winning in two overtimes, 41-34. You want to talk about a great first win under new head coach Donnie Evans, or for head coach Donnie Evans. This was kind of an instant classic. Two overtime victory on the road, high-scoring game. That's a big win for Hampshire.
Huge win for Coach Evans to start his season like that, to start his reign like that as head coach of the Hampshire Trojans. What was interesting to me, Garrett, is I was watching these scores, and Hampshire was up big early. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were up big. I'm not positive of exactly how big, but they were up. And then Preston battled back. They went to overtime. And then for Hampshire to pull this out, man, what a huge win for their program to start the season. Excited for them to see where this goes. The quarterback, Landon Eversole, 12 for 26 in the air, 236 yards and four touchdowns. So we know what Hampshire's going to be about now, right? We didn't know 2 weeks ago because we hadn't really seen them. Now we know they're going to throw the football, and they've got a guy to do that. So it's exciting to see where this goes for Hampshire.
I think it kind of reaffirms things. You get a new head coach in Donnie Evans who comes over from Petersburg. The numbers jump up. 59 on the roster. We talked about it last week. They actually had to go out and buy additional jerseys just for the numbers that they have come out. And not only you have all that positivity and that kind of rejuvenation of your program, then week one on the road, you go to two overtimes and you get a win. It kind of reaffirms what people thought was going to be the tide-turning move in at Hampshire, and that was head coach Donnie Evans. Great game, great win for Hampshire. This week they take on Frankfurt on Classic Hits 107. Now to Petersburg. Petersburg taking on Berkeley Springs. A lopsided affair, but not as one-sided as possibly we thought it was going to be. Petersburg wins 48-28. Freshman quarterback Peyton Matheny, huge game in the air, 6 of 11 for 85 and a touchdown. And then on the ground, 8 carries for 140
wow.
and 5. Big win for new head coach Shane Shockey. And I think as a freshman quarterback, Peyton Matheny is going to get a lot of looks if he keeps putting up numbers like that.
Those numbers remind you of Will Patterson and Uma Pualli.
Said, yep.
Right? Not only is he doing it in the air, he's doing it with his feet. 8 for 140 and 5 touchdowns as a freshman. So this kid, look out for Peyton Matheny. And Matheny is kind of like a West Virginia name. You remember that name from Moorfield? Matheny won Player of the Year around 1997. Split it with Jared Fredisca. But for a freshman to lead his team to a 20-point win, score 48 points, and have 6 touchdowns, running and passing, I mean, that's huge. So, yes, it's a big win for Petersburg. But I tell you what, kind of like you were saying, Berkeley Springs surprised me keeping this game this close and scoring 28. Hate the fact that they gave up 48, but they did score 28. So maybe that means Berkeley Springs is on the up and up. So we'll see.
Big win for Petersburg, 48-28, the final score. That's going to do it in week one in West Virginia. When we come back, we'll start talking about the Maryland schools. They kick off tonight as Allegheny, Fort Hill, and Mountain Ridge all open up their seasons on a Friday night under the lights in our area. You're listening to High School Game Day on WCBC. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to High School Game Day. Alongside Mike Allen, this is Garrett Egan. We're getting you prepared for multiple games on both the AM and FM. If you're listening on the AM tonight, Allegheny opens up their season on the road at Hollidaysburg. Immediately following this broadcast, join Jim Zamias, Roxione, Statman, Mike Connolly, myself up in Hollidaysburg. Then on the FM, Classic Hits 107, you have Frankfurt at 1-0 taking on the 1-0, traveling to the 1-0 Hampshire Trojans. Interesting matchup there. Of course, as always, folks, on Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Saturday morning quarterback, join the WCBC sports crew as we talk about the area's action in high school football. Also, big shout-out to Bell and Appley Pizza Pasta Subs here on Green Street, the official host and home of High School Game Day. Big shout-out to Levi Lutz and his crew having us back for another year for huge pizzas with great toppings, subs, salads. They even do burgers, believe it or not. They do burgers, Italian place, but they do burgers. Their burgers are come highly recommended, and they also cater your big events. Bell and Appley Pizza Pasta Subs on Green Street down here at Cumberland. Segment two, season preview. Maryland kicks off their season officially tonight. You have Allegheny, Mountain Ridge, Fort Hill, and Mike, I think overall with all three of these local schools, I think you can use a blanket question for all three. How, based on last year, who Allegheny had, who Allegheny was, Mountain Ridge, who they had, what they did, who they were, and for Fort Hill, what they did and who they had, I think the blanket question is, what possibly are the expectations for these local schools, given all the graduation of great athletes? The big question is, just how good is Allegheny, Mountain Ridge, and Fort Hill going to be this year?
Well, I still think that the state championship runs through Allegheny County.
Love the sound of that.
Okay, so you got Fort Hill as the favorite. All right, make no mistake about it. They lost a lot on the line, and we saw that in the first scrimmage against Bridgeport. I mean, Bridgeport pretty much beat Fort Hill up when first team went against first team to start the scrimmage, and then Fort Hill settled in. But the main difference was the line. So Fort Hill's got to replace their whole line. Not one lineman was back. So that's going to take a toll on Fort Hill to start the season. They will figure it out very quickly. However, they are, I believe, the favorite to win the state championship. And then Mountain Ridge, I think, comes in second as the favorite, just like they have the last 3 years. So between the three schools, one of them will win the state championship. And then, you know, Mountain Ridge, they're losing a lot. They lose Will Patterson, who was the offensive player of the year, co-offensive player of the year with Jabril Daniels. However, they have the same system that they're running, and they're just replacing guys. And we'll talk about them in a little bit, but I think the biggest fall off, and I hate to say this, and I know the listeners hate to hear it, is Allegheny. They just lost so much, and for Coach Ansel to have to replace 18 seniors when you only got, you know, 25, 30 kids on the team is tough.
It is. It definitely is, and I think last year may have been one of my favorite years, at least top three favorite years of covering local athletics, because, again, you had – like for the 2 years before that, three straight years you had two Allegheny County teams playing for the state championship. And if there was one good thing that came out of COVID, I think it was that, especially in athletics, was a new playoff system and the reseeding after the regions, where essentially two Allegheny County schools, if they made it, could be on opposite ends of the bracket and find their way down to Navy Marine Corps Stadium to face off, which Fort Hill and Mountain Ridge did three straight times, Fort Hill running the table in those three matchups. But, you know, just being down on the field with Allegheny, a lion's share with Allegheny, because we are, you know, we do cover Allegheny first and foremost on the AM. But, you know, Zach Michael and Brody Williams and you know, Isaiah Fields and Dede, and some of those kids just being around them and seeing how much fun that was and how these three local teams basically went toe-to-toe throughout the playoffs, or into the playoffs, I should say, made it very interesting, very entertaining. So this year it feels like it's just a total reset. But until somebody knocks Fort Hill off, Mike, like you said, they are the favorite. It's kind of like what I said last week in picking the Kaiser RCB game. I said, you pick in these type of matchups first week, you pick Kaiser until they give you a reason not to.
Right.
Same
and
thing.
They did.
And, yeah, unfortunately, injuries and the final score, definitely. But with these local schools, until Fort Hill shows that they really have fallen off, you have to keep picking them to win and have them as the favorite for the state championship. But it is going to be interesting, folks, to see how these three local teams reset, given their graduation. But it seems like we've said that the last two or three years, and these three teams find a way. Mike, how about in the state of Maryland, our three local schools, players that we're most excited to watch? We'll start with Fort Hill. For you, of course, Jabril Daniels, who has already had such an incredible season, or rather career, as a young man, is back for another year. He's got to be kind of at the top of our list for Fort Hill.
Definitely. Yeah. He was the co-offensive player of the year, as I mentioned, with Will Patterson. And Jabril's just a special athlete. He's gotten bigger over the summer. He's really worked hard in the weight room. And he's got some schools looking at him, got a couple offers out there, so that's going to motivate him to get more offers or go ahead and commit and play for that build up. But the numbers that he put up were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
5 touchdowns in homecoming, 5 touchdowns in the state championship game. Oh, in the first half, right?
Yeah.
So the build up to that, it is going to be special. I don't know if Jabril can match those numbers, because I don't know if Fort Hill can match those numbers. I don't know if Fort Hill can score as much as they were with the line that they have. We will see. Can they? Yes. I don't know if they will. But there's some other players there, too, that Fort Hill was returning in the backfield. Braylon Younger was a back that played last year as a sophomore. Now he's a junior. Noah House, sophomore, now a junior. Tristan Ross, junior, now a senior, that can absolutely fly. And then, you know, you have Jabril to boot, and it's just Fort Hill just does it time after time after time. They build these players up to be special when they're seniors, and then they replace the seniors that left with kids that can fill those shoes.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Tristan Ross, Braylon Younger. Braylon Younger did very well last year in limited minutes. He was one that whenever we got a chance to do Fort Hill games and I was down on the field or calling the game, he was very impressive, even as a younger player, a player that didn't see a whole lot of minutes, but kind of worked his way into more minutes, more opportunities for Coach Alkire. Another one, Nick Willison. He's going to be one to watch this year. For Allegheny, as we mentioned, they graduated a lot last year, but I guess I can go first for Allegheny. Two names that stand out to me that I'm excited to see in action. One is on the line, and one will probably get the lion's share of the football, as well as defensively. Jackson Resch returns this year. They're expecting a lot out of him. He is a compact packing punch type of player. He was last year. He was very impressive to see him play. And then on the line, Lucas Barenberg, who was impressive. This kid is an absolute mountain. Reminds me of kind of like Heston Blue, if you will, Carter Heston Blue. They're expecting a lot out of him, because given the graduation from last year, you kind of lean on your line to step up and create opportunities, and Barenberg's going to be one of them for Allegheny. Mike, how about Allegheny, some of the kids that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, I have the same names as you do. To add a few, I had Resch, I had, Lucas. But to add a few, quarterbacking this year for Allegheny, Sebastian Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a junior. He has a really good family heritage, and Chris Stewart being his father, ended up with a tryout for the Redskins, went to Bethune-Cookman.
Oh, wow.
Was a D1 standout in the defensive backfield. Sebastian's a really good athlete. He's lanky. He will grow into his body, and he's just a good athlete. So to have him at quarterback, I think, is a good thing for Allegheny. Kane Williams is hurt right now, the younger brother of Brody Williams. He was a freshman starter on the campers team last year. Amani Blow, another one good, yeah. that can be really, really good. He's on the line, but I think he's playing some fullback. He's banged up right now, so we'll see how that goes. Jackson Resch, like you said. Aiden McKenzie is another name. Aiden was a JV standout for Allegheny, got moved up at the end of the year, and is now starting in the, at the cornerback spot, running back spot. So they have some guys. They're just new guys. And I think, again, with, like, Fort Hill on the line, it's going to take these guys as a whole a longer time to mesh than the previous years, because they had senior leadership that that you know these guys had already played a lot. Alco, not so much, but we'll see how it works out.
And then for Mountain Ridge, they have a couple of kids that come back from last year, one of which being Eli Sibley, who caught the football, had multiple touchdowns. I believe he is either committed, verbally committed to Frostburg State, or has an offer from Frostburg State. Eli Sibley, he returns. Kobe Penick is another one for Mountain Ridge. And another thing, maybe not a player, but a coach, it's going to be interesting to see how head coach Nathan Scheib takes over the reins for Coach Patterson. You mentioned that Coach Patterson is still kind of around, still helping out, and is it still a system? But a young guy, another young coach taking over, Nathan Scheib. Mike, for Mountain Ridge, any players that stand out, given everybody they graduated that you're looking forward to seeing?
There's some guys, man. They got some guys, and they just plug them in. Penick, like you said, is the quarterback. He's a really lean, athletic kid. Sibley's a really, really big target for Penick, so he's going to find him in the end zone multiple times this year. Another name that stands out for me, Owen McGady, he's a returning player, was a really, really good basketball player, decided to move the football in his junior year. He's now a senior. He's going to be their punter, going to be a slot receiver, as well as he goes to wideout and a safety. Brody Van Meter on the line is a really, really tough-nosed kid. His dad, Buddy, played at Fort Hill back in 96. So, I mean, they got guys, right? Again, it's kind of like Allegheny and Fort Hill. They're going to have to figure out who they are early. We know what they're going to do, but who's going to step up for them the most and plug them in where they see necessary.
Feels like Christmas, the Friday of high school football in the state of Maryland. Cannot wait to see Allegheny, Mountain Ridge, Fort Hill out on the field. Let's quickly move to our game previews. Two games to preview in this segment before we head to other games in the state of Maryland and West Virginia after the break. First one, 0-1 Kaiser taking on Hedgesville. Triple-A game for Kaiser, banged up after last week. Mike, tough matchup with everything that we know about Kaiser after week one, the injuries. This is going to be a tough game for Kaiser trying to turn it around with.
Kaiser's banged up. They don't know who their quarterback is, you know, and to come off that terrible loss to a team that they usually beat in RCB, it's not going to be good this week. They just have to find ways to keep Hedgesville off the field. Anytime you're a dog like this, you have to maintain the football, control the clock, and keep the score low. So that's what Kaiser's game plan is going to be. Can they do that? I don't think so this early with all these injuries. It's going to be tough, man.
Turning around and moving to the other side of Mineral County on Classic Hits 107 tonight. Immediately following this broadcast, Tony O, Brad Reed on the call. 1-0 Frankfort taking on the 1-0 Hampshire Trojans. Traditionally, or in years past, this was a Week 10 matchup where Hampshire was usually trying to knock Frankfort out of the postseason. Both teams undefeated. Interesting matchup here, Mike, because these two teams, after 1 week of play, have different approaches. Frankfort, run heavy, runs at you, clock management, keeping the football, long drives, long scoring drives. And for Hampshire, they like to get out there and throw the ball around. Landon Eversole, once again last week, 12 for 26 for 236 and 4. So for Frankfort, it's an early learning curve in terms of the defensive secondary. If Hampshire's going to stick with that game plan We'll see how good the Frankfurt secondary is defensively, because Hampshire's going to throw the football, and it's going to be up to Frankfurt to try and slow that down.
Right. Again, 2 weeks ago, we look at this matchup, and we don't get real excited, right? Hampshire's kind of down. They got a new coach, don't know what they're going to be. But after putting up 48 points last week against Preston, man, I mean, this this could be a really good game. And for Frankfurt, I think it's two opposite styles. Frankfurt wants to keep the ball in their hands. They want to drive the field. They run that wing T. They have three backs that they can rely on that we know now. Hampshire's the opposite, right? They got someone that's going to throw the football and kind of mix in the run. And Frankfurt wants to run and then mix in the pass. So it's, you know, styles that don't match up. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think for Hampshire, all the pressure is on them on the offensive side, because when you throw the football, the clock stops if you don't, you know, if you don't get first downs. Throw an incomplete pass, you know, you're not accurate, clock stops, and then you have to punt the ball away, and Frankfurt might take 8 to 10 to 12 minutes, long drive. So it puts the pressure on the offense, especially that throws the football, to be productive, to keep the ball moving, to catch passes, and to bring up these drives, because if not, you might not see the ball in 8 to 10 minutes, and then you might be down 7 or 14 before you start clicking through the air. So, you know, all the pressure is on Hampshire. It's a home game for Hampshire, Frankfurt traveling, but after last week, a lot more manageable, a lot more entertaining than what we thought it would be coming into this season. That, I mean, as spectators and broadcasters, that's what you love. You love competitive games, and we potentially could see one and hear one tonight on Classic Hits 107. That's going to do it for our second segment. When we come back, we'll talk the three local schools, including our game of the week tonight, after this broadcast, Allegheny on the road up to Hollidaysburg. You're listening to WCBC Sports. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to High School Game Day, the weekly high school football show where we get you prepared for tonight's action in local high school football, review last week's action, and we even pick the games. The game picks will be in our next segment, but for this segment, we'll preview the three Maryland local high school football teams that are in action to open up their 2024 fall campaigns. We'll start with our first preview, Mountain Ridge opening up, hosting Southern tonight, a Southern team, a Southern program that was dead in the water after week two or three last year. They shut it down, kept the JVs, varsity was shut down. And this year, new head coach in Dave McLaughlin, 53 on paper on the roster. Total turnaround. And talking to Matt Redinger, AD up at Southern, he said it's been a breath of fresh air. Really cool to see kids come out for football that maybe did it in years past. And you see a total turnaround, total 180 from years past. So Southern tonight takes on Mountain Ridge. And for Southern, we'll find out just how good they can be or how rejuvenated they are, because even after another state championship runner-up last year and all the graduation, based on our last segment of talk, Mountain Ridge has a nice stable of backs, defenders, line, as well as special teams. And for Southern, this is a tough week one matchup, traveling down to Frostburg to take on the Miners, Mike, in this opening game for both teams.
I'm excited for Southern. You know, I think it's a new era for Southern football. They've had some really good coaches up there. They've had some really good programs. And the last program I remember was with Dave McLaughlin's son, Hayden, who was the quarterback, and he was really, really good. You know, this is a breath of fresh air for Oakland and Southern, Garrett County. So the keys to the game for Southern, in my opinion, Gary, is just to show up. They got to show up. They got to play football and see what happens at the end of the game. What are they going to win this game? No. And I think they know that. However, it'd be nice to give a good showing. You know, what if the score was 35-21 or 35-14? That would shock a lot of people, right? We don't know what it's going to be. We'll see at the end of the night, but Southern has to show up, and there is a really, really big breath of fresh air in Oakland tonight.
It reminds me, this type of approach for Southern, when you know that you're the underdog on paper, is you try and simplify with the best terms, I guess, to use mathematics, and that is simplifying your offense, simplifying your defense, and getting the ball in the hands of your athletes and just seeing what shakes out. I think that they will have a game plan for Mountain Ridge. Obviously, clock management, sustaining drives is always a key. It's kind of a cornerstone of any team, whether you're the you have the upper hand, you're the favorite or the underdog. And for Mountain Ridge, I think on the other side of the coin, Mike, with Pennock and with Sibley, you kind of try and do the same exact thing, use the same exact scheme as last year, and it should be business as usual. You just have different names thrown around, catching and running the football.
That's exactly right. I have right here in my notes, do what they do. That's their key to the game. What do they do, Garrett? They go four wide. They go trips. They go single receiver. With the trips on the other side, they go single running back. They give that guy the ball. They run with the quarterback. So that's what you're going to see up in Frostburg tonight. But, I mean, it's not going to look different. The names are going to be different. I think they can still put up big numbers as they have the past 3 years with guys like Uma, with guys like Will. You know, Sibley, I'm telling you right now, he's hard to guard. I watched them in a quad scrimmage there of their own down in Brunswick, and they beat every team in front of them, Brunswick and Williamsport and teams like that. You know, that Poolsville, some big schools down there, and they didn't look any different. Yeah, they were a little sloppy. However, it was first week of the season, but they looked the same, and I think that's what they need to do. Do what they do. Go with that four-wide offense, play hard, stingy, you know, tough defense, and they're going to look the same.
Should be a good one tonight in Frostburg. Mountain Ridge Southern open up their 2024 campaigns in a matchup at Miner Stadium. Now to Garrett County, where Northern opens up their season, as does Fort Hill. Fort Hill Sentinels start their championship defense in sight of four straight state 1A state championships as they open up the season at Northern. I got the email on Wednesday that the gates opened at 5:30. I would say that tonight, as we sit here and you're listening to this game, if you're a Fort Hill fan and you got us tuned in, if you're not already at the game and the reception to WCBC hasn't cut out, I would say you're on your way. Fort Hill always travels very, very well. Gates open at 5:30. Kickoff is at 7, and for the Sentinels, Mike, looking for yet another state championship, as we talked about in the last segment, they have some kids that returned from last year. They get more playing time, get to step into a starting role, and I'm excited for Fort Hill again this year. Might not look the same, especially up front, given the size that they graduated, but until Fort Hill proves that they are, quote-unquote, down, you have to think that Fort Hill on the road in 30-degree weather, I would venture, in Garrett County at Half Mile High Stadium tonight, is still a heavy favorite.
Fort Hill's a heavy favorite. However, Northern, this is almost like their last hurrah, right? So I'm hearing things about a coach might retire from
Northern. I hate to hear that.
And this might be his last go. So I'm telling you, what a blessing it's been for us to watch Phil Carr in action for over 30 years. You know, if you think about that number, he's just been a staple of Northern football. But back to Fort Hill, yeah, I mean, the Fort Hill football team is going to start and end with Jabril Daniels, right? He's going to get the football, and he's going to do his thing for as long as he can. And Fort Hill is going to allow him to do that. And then once he establishes that middle, you got Tristan Ross, who's a track champion. They can get to the outside. You got Younger, as I mentioned. Nash Castle is going to run the quarterback spot. I think him and Noah House were battling it out, and I think right now Fort Hill's going to go with Castle. So we'll see how that plays out as far as throwing the football. Wyatt Rankers a split out. I mean, the line is the key for Fort Hill. If they can develop any type of line at all, and they will. I mean, let's face it, they always do. They're going to be really, really fun to watch this year again. And Northern could be in a little bit of trouble here.
We know that Northern, even at home, is the underdog in this matchup. Mike, if you're game planning this game, what are the keys for Northern? We saw a couple years ago at Greenway, they really kept it close with Fort Hill. I don't think the game was ever in doubt, but Northern made it a very close game by traditional standards in this kind of a matchup, and that's credit to Coach Carr. What are the keys to Northern's game in this one to try and keep this one at least manageable?
Somehow they always do week one, right? So it's at Northern. It's going to be a little bit more on the chill side, right? I was up there today. It's chilly up there. So they got that going for them. They got Fort Hill's weaknesses going for them as far as their line. Phil Carr will take advantage of that as much as he can. He'll blitz linebackers and try to take chances. And you know, it's gonna be fun to watch. Northern has to keep Fort Hill off the field, and they do that. They're similar to Frankfort. They run first, they pass second. You know, they've got some guys this year. Luke Ross is one that you mm-hmm. will hear about. He was all area last year for Northern, and he will be a split out for them. And, you know, they're just going to be Northern. That's what they're going to do. So we'll see how it plays out. Fort Hill is itching to get back on the field on Friday nights, and I think Northern is going to see how that works out for them when Fort Hill gets revved up tonight.
Yeah, names like Hein Ball and Wally Brands, who's a four-year varsity player, returned for Northern. The names you said also, you know, Stewart and Yoder, a quarterback, will see some split time. Evan Graham, who's just a junior, got banged up a little bit. He's going to play running back as well as linebacker. And, you know, you got a chance to talk to Coach Carr and, you know, get some information. It seems like Northern has, in the notes that you sent over, today and this week, Mike, the name or the word that just kept coming through in multiple different players you talked about was adding some weight to this position, adding some weight to that position. As we've seen in years past, and especially, I mean, you got kids like Carter Hess on the line that just can throw kids around. Adding weight is never a bad thing, especially when you're trying to get penetration up front and then defensively. One thing that Northern has to do that they haven't been able to, probably dating back since I was knee-high to a duck, they've just never been able to take away the big play, and that's kind of what Fort Hill has been. You might get some penetration. You might slow them down to per se, but Fort Hill just has an inherent ability to hit a home run, these home run plays, whether, you know, it's Stubbs, it's Allen, it's Daniels, these kids that can just find a way to get to the second level and then turn on the Jets and they never look back. That is something that Northern has traditionally had trouble with. So if anything tonight, if they can limit the big plays, they'll keep it manageable. I just don't know how manageable that really will be.
Yeah, I agree. Big plays are the key for Northern to stop. I don't know if they'll have enough speed to do that. And that's where we mm-hmm. see the difference in football teams when you have Fort Hill versus Northern. As you said, like 2 years ago, Mikey had two carries for 108 yards, two touchdowns. So, I mean, you can't do anything about that if you're Northern, but try to limit that, and that's all they can do. Now, Ross is fast, right? When he was in eighth grade, Northern won the lightweight championship with Ross having like seven touchdowns or something crazy. They beat the Patriots. You know, this is his senior year, so it doesn't always play out as it did in eighth grade, but they can compete in this football game with guys like Ross, mm-hmm. Hein Ball, and some of the guys you mentioned for Northern.
Now we move from Big Red to Big Blue. Game of the week tonight on WCBC. Airtime immediately following this broadcast from Hollidaysburg, PA, just right on this side of Altoona. So a little less than an hour drive, and you know the F Club and Big Red is traveling well to Hollidaysburg. This is kind of a more contemporary matchup. I want to say the last 5 to 7 years, Allegheny and Fort Hill has played Hollidaysburg. This year, Allegheny travels to Hollidaysburg on WCBC, our game of the week. This has been a very good opening week contest and challenge for both Hollidaysburg and Allegheny. Allegheny resets after graduating several pieces. Unfortunately, and I don't think it's any sort of secret, Allegheny opens up the season without one of their biggest pieces, and that's Kane Williams. You mentioned him in the last segment. He got a lion's share of minutes, Brody's younger brother Kane, defensively last year, even when his arm was in a soft cast, I think. Mm-hmm. Still played. Hard-nosed kid. He starts out the year on the injured list. I believe it's an upper body injury. It might be shoulder, something with the arm. Talking to Coach Hansel in the offseason, obviously he was totally crushed because this is a kid that is hard-nosed. It would take a pretty serious injury to keep him off the field. So that's what this is. But when you're starting out the year, you want to be at full strength. You don't want to be like Kaiser coming into week two. That is a huge piece that Allegheny has to start the year off without, which puts a lot of accountability on the rest of their team. Allegheny at Hollidaysburg tonight, Mike. Really interesting matchup here.
It is. Tough one for Allegheny, but here's the thing. Who makes the playoffs in Maryland, Garrett?
Everyone.
Everybody, mm-hmm. right? So Allegheny can't rest their whole season on this football game, especially without Williams and maybe Blow, that are two really big pieces to the puzzle for Allegheny. So they won't do that. Coach Hansel won't look at this as the Super Bowl in week one. Yes, he wants to win. Yes, he wants to look good. But that could be tough with two guys missing. They're going to be a huge part of their football team. Let's talk about Hollidaysburg. They're 2-0, right? They beat Taylor Aldridge or something like that. Aldridge something. I don't know what. I couldn't even remember it when I looked it up. 42-0. They beat Altoona 27-14.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they're going to be good. They're going to throw the football around. Last year they were 5-6, but remember, two of the six losses were Fort Hill and Allegheny. Mm-hmm. They lost to Allegheny last year 30-23. So it was close, and they had a really good team in Allegheny. So what does that mean? I think you have to make Hollidaysburg the favorite in this football game. It's at Hollidaysburg. That's mm-hmm. another key piece to this. Again, this won't be the last we see an Allegheny win or lose. Allegheny has to go up there. They have to try to run the football up the middle with Resch, and they have to control the clock, keep Hollidaysburg off the field, as any underdog does, and Coach Hansel will try to do that.
Yeah, especially I remember last year, Hollidaysburg coming down to Greenway, they threw the football a lot. Head coach DeLautre, I believe he has one or two sons. I don't know if any of them graduated coming into this year. I think he still has one. They threw the football a lot, but they weren't very productive. They weren't accurate in their passing, and then they kind of just, I think in the second and third quarter, did not have an identity. Allegheny was able to lean on their usual stable of backs. For me in this game, without Kane Williams, it puts a lot of pressure, and I think it's needed pressure on guys like Jackson Resch, Lucas Barenberg. Barenberg's going to be up front. Expect him to be one of the anchors of that line defensively and offensively for Allegheny. And like I said in the last segment, this kid is an absolute giant. When you look down on the field, I don't think you have any issue picking out which one is Lucas. He is set for a big year. And then running behind him, you have Jackson Resch. You have some newer guys coming up. I'm very excited for Allegheny. Now, does that mean that they're favored in this game? I don't think so. Travel game, any first game of the year, you never know. I would be very surprised if this wasn't a close game between these two teams. Game of the week here on WCBC tonight. I did not look up the fact that PA starts, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks before Maryland. 2 weeks before Maryland. The fact that Hollidaysburg beat Altoona is kind of a red flag for Allegheny. So you know that they're good. Hopefully that means Altoona's way down. But it doesn't matter wins or losses. If a team's 2-0 or 0-2, you still got to play the game. For Allegheny, their main key in this one is to limit the turnovers, play their style, and I think they should be just fine. Game of the week on WCBC tonight, immediately following this broadcast, join Roxione, Jim Zemias, Mike Connolly, myself from Hollidaysburg, PA. That's going to do it. We're going to wrap up with our game picks after the break. When we come back, everybody's chasing Rock. Reply all, Roxione, after this. WCBC Radio Sports. Welcome back. High School Game Day alongside Mike Allen. This is Garrett Egan. We're wrapping up and getting you ready for a full week of high school football in West Virginia. Classic, it's 107. Frankfort taking on Hampshire. Both teams 1-0. That's on the FM. And then if you're listening on the AM, Allegheny traveling to Hollidaysburg to open up the week. Last week we picked the games. We had four games to pick. Roxione going 4-0. He leads the team. Brad Reed going 3-1, Mike Connolly, Mike Allen going 3-1, I went 3-1, and a couple of the other guys going 2-2. So we have multiple games to pick this week, five games, as there is some overlap. Fort Hill plays Northern, Frankfort plays Hampshire, Mountain Ridge plays Southern. Let's start with unanimous selections. First, Fort Hill at Northern, Roxione, Tonio, Jim Zemias, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly all have Fort Hill. Mike, I think even if somebody had a gun to your head, I don't think you'd pick Northern in this one. Who you got?
Fort Hill big. I don't think it's going to be as big as we've seen Fort Hill, you know, in the past. However, Fort Hill's going to handle business up in Garrett County at the Igloo, as you like to call it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Fort Hill won't have any problems winning this football game.
I could see some successful plays, drives from Northern in this game. You know, Phil Carr is going to play all the way to the final buzzer, the final whistle of the fourth quarter. No matter who they are playing or what the score is, love Coach Carr, but expect Fort Hill to roll in this one. Another unanimous selection, Kaiser traveling to Hedgesville tonight. Kaiser trying to get back in the win column. Banged up last week. Kaiser, Hedgesville, and everybody looks like they're taking Hedgesville. Tonio, Roxione, Jim Zamias, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly, all going with Hedgesville. Triple A team. Mike Allen, who you got?
Hedgesville, this is not what the doctor ordered for Kaiser. When you have two quarterbacks go down, sorry to say, but it's just not. I'd say 42-7, something like that, or worse. Hedgesville over Kaiser.
Yeah, I like Hedgesville big in this one as well. You just hope that Kaiser can get healthy, and hoping that those two young men who went down in the first 3 minutes of the first game of this season, when you put so much emphasis on turning it around from last year and the injury bug, and this is a new year, and then in the first 4 minutes you lose not one but two guys in the backfield. I mean, there's nothing that Coach Steven can do about that. It's not anybody's fault. It's just the luck of the draw. So hopefully those guys can come back and get back out on the field. But I like Hedgesville again this week to join the rest of us. A game that I thought we would have a little bit of diversity in the picks, but I'm just not sure we're sold on one of the teams matching up. Frankfort at Hampshire tonight on Classic Hits 107. Tonio likes the Falcons. Roxione has Frankfort in this one. Jim Zamias, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly all like the Falcons. Mike Allen, Hampshire impressed us last week in a two overtime win. Who you got?
I think this game is going to be fun. I can't wait to listen to it as I'm at the Fort Hill game. But I think Hampshire's going to put up a fight here. I think Frankfort wins in the end, 21-10, 21-7, something like that. Frankfort is going to win, but I think the game is going to be good.
Here's my oddball prediction before I give my pick. I'll say that Hampshire scores the first touchdown in this game. It seems like through 1 week of play and just a limited litmus test, Frankfort really started slow. They had two turnovers in the first quarter. I think Hampshire scores first, but Frankfort scores often after that. I like Frankfort as well. Mountain Ridge hosting Southern tonight. Everybody likes the Miners. Tonio, Roxione, Jim Zamias, Mike Connolly, Brad Reed, all going with the Miners in their opening week matchup. Mike Allen, who you got?
Southern, you know, we've said they're going to have a breath of fresh air, but it's not going to be that fresh when they have to go up against Mount Ridge. They'll throw all over Southern. New guys will get their names in the paper on Saturday morning. Mount Ridge big against Southern.
You mentioned Eli Sibley, and based on, you know, you watching them in that scrimmage, I think he's gearing up for a big year when they throw the football. He's the main target. Expect Mount Ridge to roll Southern. Good to have Southern back, however, in our local high school football ring. Now to our game of the week. Plenty of diversity in the picks here. Allegheny at Hollidaysburg, game of the week on WCBC. We'll send it to Hollidaysburg, PA, immediately following this broadcast. Roxione, Jim Zamias, Mike Connolly, myself in Hollidaysburg. Week one matchup for the campers on the road. And we'll start first with those taking Hollidaysburg. Tonio, let's put this on the bulletin board over there at Campabella up on Haystack. Tonio has Hollidaysburg 26-23, so a close game in favor of the home team. Jim Zamias taking Hollidaysburg 27-20. Now to who's taking Allegheny. Roxione has Allegheny 20-14, close game there. Brad Reed has Allegheny 22-20. Mike Connolly has Allegheny, I believe by the biggest margin between the two schools, 28-14, at least in Allegheny winning. Mike Allen, who you got?
I hate to do this. Don't put my name on the bulletin board, but Hollidaysburg, I think, wins this football game simply because Allegheny's just not ready yet. Ask me who would win this game week five or six. I think it's Allegheny. Right now, I think Hollidaysburg wins 28-12.
For me, the way I think, you pick local schools until they give you a reason not to. The thing that, and I mentioned this in the last segment, the biggest red flag is the fact that Hollidaysburg is 2-0 and they've beaten Altoona. Altoona, I believe, the last couple of years has beaten Hollidaysburg. One was close, 1 year was not, but Altoona is a huge school up there, obviously in Altoona, PA. So the fact that Hollidaysburg has beaten them, it seems like they have kind of the cream of the crop with you know, some four-year starters and some kids who are in their senior year. This is going to be a tough matchup for Allegheny. I'm going to take Allegheny, maybe as an upset, as an underdog on the road, 27-21. That's going to do it for us here on High School Game Day. Immediately following this broadcast, we send it on the FM. Tony O, Brad Reed on the call, Frankfort taking on Hampshire, and now we send it out on the AM band to Hollidaysburg, PA. Roxione, Jim Zemais, Mike Connolly, take it away, and fans, as always, enjoy your weekend of football.